Como belle c'è la luna, brille strette, strette come butto, belle faste già, sotto celle de Roma.
I want to welcome everyone to another episode of ItalianAmericanLife.com with Frankie D, the very first Italian-American podcast from 2013. My guest today is an Air Force veteran, a former captain pilot with American Airlines, and a former financial advisor, and a new first-time author of a book titled The Stowaway in First Class, a true story of an unforgettable quest to come to America. His name is Anthony DeSantis. Tony, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Frank. It's a pleasure to be here, and I really appreciate you inviting me to do this.
Well, it's great to have you, and you've done many great things in your life, and the book definitely does not disappoint. I thoroughly enjoyed it, an incredible, incredible true story of your father. But before we get into the book, tell me a little bit about where the family's from in Italy, where you grew up as well.
Okay. Well, my dad is, as you'll find out in the book, is an immigrant. So I'm first generation, but they came from a town. My dad's family came from a town in the province of Frosinone. It's about 60 miles south of Rome, a place called Arce, A-R-C-E. And very close to the mountains. So it's kind of a mountainous terrain, mountainous town, very, very nice town. And so all of his family and my family that came from there, they're all from there. And my mother is, she was born here, but her grandparents, her parents, my grandparents were born in what they call La Marche, Marchigiana. They're from the area around Pesaro in northern Italy on the west coast of, or the east coast of Italy.
Excellent. And I know you have been to Italy before. Have you ever been to these towns where the family's from?
Oh, actually, I've been to them so many times, Frank. Yeah, my first time I went to Italy was when I was 12 years old. My family took me over there, and we got to spend 2 months living with my father's family, and we also visited my mother's family. But in those 2 months that I was in Italy with my father's family, we lived on a farm. They had nothing. It was almost kind of like what it's in the book, La Miseria. They had very little electricity, no bathrooms, no water to speak of. You had to go fetch your water. But you know what? In 2 months, I fell in love with my family in Italy, and I fell in love with Italy, and I've been going back. My wife and I have been to Italy 24, 25 times.
Wow. Okay. That's awesome. So you obviously love it. And that, like you said, that first trip made a life lasting effect on you.
Yeah. I was 12 years old. And when I was told we were going home after 2 months, I actually cried. I love these people. And I still love them because most of the older folks are gone, but their kids are still with us. And I have a very strong relationship with them and their kids. So, you know, it goes on, and I'm so excited about it.
That's great. And tell me about where you personally grew up.
My dad settled in a town outside of Boston called Framingham. And town of maybe, I don't know, 50,000 people at the time, but so I grew up in Framingham and in a very Italian section of town. I mean, we were known as the Little Italy of Framingham. It was the area of town where I grew up in. I was surrounded by Italian Americans and Italian grocery stores and Italian shops and Italian workplaces. Everybody seemed to be Italian. And so everything I did was related to being Italian, and I worked in Italian grocery stores, and I mean, it was a tremendous, tremendous childhood. And the people then, back then, they watched out for you, they loved you, they provided for you. I mean, everything was concentrated on being part of the Italian family of the neighborhood.
Well, that's great. I love it. That's a beautiful, positive story. Both stories are positive and beautiful. So that's excellent. So you joined the Air Force, and was that something because you wanted to be a pilot?
Well, you read about it in the book, how I came to be interested in flying, and I'm not going to give it away. But while I was in high school, I knew that the only way for me to become a pilot was to get in the military because we didn't have any money, and I knew my parents weren't going to be able to send me to flight school and all that. So I applied to and received an appointment to the United States Air Force Academy in Colorado when I graduated from high school, and so that's how that was my entrance to the Air Force. And the Air Force then provided me with a superb education and tremendous opportunities, and of course the ability to fly.
And then
So
you went on for that as a career as well.
yeah, I did that, and I served during Vietnam. So they gave me such a fantastic opportunity, and part of what I say in the book is, that it's really amazing that my father can come over. I won't give it away because it's in the title, but he came over as an illegal stowaway, and in one generation, I get sent to the United States Air Force Academy by the government that adopted him years later as he became legal. And this is a story about how an immigrant, if they have the right mindset, can actually change the legacy of his family and make things happen for him and his kids that never would have happened if I hadn't had he not come over here. I wouldn't be around, but those opportunities would never have happened.
Well, it's obvious that your father, he did the right things and he laid the basis for his children to succeed. And obviously that is what you have done. I'm sure mom and dad must have been extremely proud of you for all that you accomplished.
They were very proud. My father always had a keen interest in flying, and when I told him that I was going to the Air Force Academy, I'd been accepted, and he was very, very proud. My mom, not so much, because she didn't want me to go to college 2,000 miles away. So, but she got over it and she accepted it, and was very glad for me.
Well, that's beautiful. Okay, the book is about your dad. You're a first-time author. How did you happen to do this? How long did the thinking about it before, reality, I guess, of putting pen to paper, how long did that take as well?
Wow. Okay. Well, that's been going on for, I don't know, maybe 50 years. Okay. I've always wanted to write this book because I grew up hearing this story. My father would tell the story over and over again to his friends gathered around the kitchen table. And I'd be in my bedroom listening to this. So I knew the story and I was fascinated by it. And I knew that someday I would like to write it down, but I never did. Life got in the way, as I say in the prologue. I was too busy doing other things, and so I never took the time to just stop and write down my dad's story until, well, I actually even interviewed him one year when he was 82 years old in front of a video camera. At the time, and I would encourage all the people that are listening to this, if they have stories in their families, now it's so easy with your iPhone to just record your grandpa, your grandma, your mom and dad, telling them, saying as much as they can remember of the story. Well, my dad remembered it, and he explained it to me in detail. And then for another 35, 37 years, I did nothing about it because I was too busy. until finally I
Let
had an
me ask you,
occurrence.
Tony, may I interrupt? In the
Sure.
back of your mind, these 35 years of life, work, family, everything, did you always say in the back of your mind, I'm gonna make this book happen?
That's right. I did. I said I always wanted to, but I never got to it. Just like many of us, with great intentions, we never get to do the things we really should do. So we're too busy doing the things we have to do.
Well, what you're saying, I'm a volunteer at the Italian Cultural Center here in Chicago, and our leader, we have a library, and our leader of the library, Mr. Dominic Candeloro, always preaches, save your story, save your story. Exactly what you just said. Grab your phone. Today, it is so easy. It is ridiculously easy. Grab your phone and tape that family member, because when they're gone, so too are the stories. And that's sad. And he constantly preaches that. And we even help people to write these stories. We help them, to write the story to get it published. And because it's so important. So I totally
Wow.
agree with what you're saying.
That's great. That's great. Yeah, that's one of the most satisfying things I think about me having written this story is the feedback I've gotten from other sons and daughters and grandchildren of immigrants that have told me, how important it was and how much I've encouraged them to do just that, just what you're talking about. And
Well,
so it's been very uplifting.
that's
Yeah.
great to be an inspiration. Let me ask you this. I'm curious. You heard the story forever from a young child. When did it hit your mind of, wow, what my dad went through? Like, when did it really take an effect? I'm assuming when you're, 8, 9, 10, 11, I would assume it's like it goes in one ear and out the other. When did it really have an effect on you?
Yes, I agree with you. It didn't. It was just it was an interesting story when I was a child. But I think the older I got, and when I saw my dad, when he actually sat down with me and shared the story with me on videotape, I think I was probably in my late 40s. He was an older dad, but he was 82. So at that point, I thought, wow, I need to do something with this before he's gone. And I think that's when it really hit me when I realized that I only have a few more years to get this story told. And that inspired me to get the story down in his own words. And then I wanted to do so much more, but I was juggling a career and a business and family and hobbies. I just kept putting it off. And so, I mean, I actually, I finally, I think I, after a few years, after I had the medical incident, I decided this is why God left me here. I know for sure. I've got to write this story.
How long did it take from when you actually started the writing?
It took about 2 years because it took me about 3 or 4 months just to learn the craft, the terminology. How do you start a book? How do you write a book? How do you keep track of organizing a book? What goes in it? What stays out of it? And so I had to learn a little bit about writing as a craft. And then once I felt comfortable with that, and I had a very good teacher online, and so then I dug into it, and I started. I transcribed all of the things that my dad had told me on the videotape, and I used that as a kind of a basis for creating the story. And it's what we call creative nonfiction. In other words, all the things that are in it are based on true stories. Now, I had to imagine what was going on in his mind because, he's not a he wasn't a great talker and a great He didn't describe events and emotions and things going on in his mind. I had to look at his face. I had to interpret what was going on in his head. And I used that interpretation to come up with the various, descriptions in the book of what he may have been thinking.
Well, I as a reader and as having read your book, great job. It was it's a very good read. You know, it's very I don't want to say easy read, but just a very pleasant. I'm going to say pleasant. It was a very pleasant read, and it was just, you know, you describe things very well that you felt like you were there, and it was I'm like almost sincere as well. It was just a very sincere, genuine, true story, and that I prefer nonfiction myself. So, I mean, this was just incredible, and you know, to feel like to feel his thoughts, his pain, and his joy from apparently, I think if I remember, approaching 100 years ago, which is a
It's
really
about 100
long time
years
ago,
ago.
right? Yeah.
That's when the story starts, about 100 years ago.
About 100 years ago, a century ago, and we all know that a century ago to today was, wow. It probably was like 5 centuries ago compared to what today is. So, no, you did an excellent job. Definitely, I highly advise it for everyone that you know, even beyond Italian Americans, for sure for Italian Americans, because it's part of our story. It's such an interesting story for everyone. So great job. Great job.
Thank you. Thank you very
Definitely.
much.
Are you, I gotta ask, are you ever gonna write again? Did you get a bug?
Well, I'll have to be honest with you. It was hard. I mean, I had never done this before. I'd flown jets. I'd done all kinds of cool things in my life, but I've never written a book, and I realized this is difficult. And every day I'd wake up and go to work and try to come up with something on paper that made sense and was interesting. I had the story, so I had the blueprint of what I wanted to do. Now I have another story that I have back there, but I'm not sure whether I have all the details together yet, but I may work on it. So that may be my second book. But this book, we're not done with it because the book is out. It's been out about 6 months, and we're in the process of just trying to get it known. We're trying to get it promoted, and I'm having excellent results and getting great reviews. And it's an Amazon bestseller in about four or five categories, in the top 10. And I'm thinking, I don't know whether I have in me the ability to do another one like that, but this one certainly has the potential. Now, we're working on an audiobook that'll be next, and we're working to try to find a publisher in Europe that might want to take it on and translate it into different languages and publish it. We did do a book launch in Italy at my father's hometown because they did produce, my cousins produced about 100 copies of the book in Italian. They surprised me and it came out beautifully. And then so we're working on that, and we're working, I'm starting to have conversations with somebody that's interested in doing a movie about it. Which is one of the things that inspired me. Every time I told the story to people, they would say, "Tony, you got to write that story. It would make a great movie." And I just put it off.
Well, I was thinking that. I have to tell you the truth. I was thinking that earlier, and I thought, do I mention it? Because, you know, a lot of times people think like a book could be a movie. This one really would be a very, very interesting movie. Probably not an easy task,
No.
but definitely make an interesting movie. Let me ask you, what was the family's reaction, family, friends? What was their reaction after you put the book out?
Well, it was overwhelming because I don't have a great big family here, but the family in Italy was excited about it because they know my dad and they knew the whole story. And when a lot of them speak English, so when I would send them excerpts, and they were so supporting. And then my family here, my sister, my kids, and the relatives I have here, and my friends, were all very supporting. And so it really helped me and encouraged me. And of course, my wife, being my greatest supporter. She was with me in every chapter, and so I relied on her to get me through the process of writing. But yeah, family support, friends. I had a lot of people that helped me critique the book and write reviews even before I released it. So I got to put them in the book. In fact, one of them is the director, the chairman of the Italian American Museum of Washington, D.C. It's also called Casa Italiana. I had visited there about a year after my stroke. I had nine cousins come to America to visit me to find out how I was doing. And they ranged in age from 80 to 18. And as a surprise, Judy and I flew them up to Washington, D.C. for 3 days. They had no idea where they were going. When we drove out to the airport, we put them on a private jet. I had chartered a jet because there were so many of us. And they had never been on a private jet before. They were just blown away. And we flew up there and they had no idea where we were going. But we spent 3 days in Washington, D.C., looking at the Italian American contribution to our country in Washington. All the artists, the laborers, the architects, the builders,
May I bring up
and
one that comes to my mind immediately?
yeah,
The
sure.
Lincoln Memorial
Yeah,
by the
exactly.
Paley brothers, six
Yeah,
brothers.
yeah,
Yes.
yes. And the Dome of the Capitol. There's so many places. And of course, the people at the Italian American Museum, they have a museum that's dedicated to that, to show people that visited what the Italian American contribution has been, not only to that great city, but to our country and the arts and building and politics, culture. It was just an amazing place. And so I got a relationship with those people, and then they invited me back 2 years later to actually launch the book at the museum.
That's great. That's great. And Tony, when I tell you you're preaching to the choir, I started writing children's books a couple of years now, and the last book is basically everything that just came out of your mouth. It's called I'm Proud to Be Italian American, and it's for me. Sometimes there's this narrative out there that I don't want to speak about, but it's not a very positive one about us. And
Yeah.
unfortunately, it's becoming like the norm, and it's even becoming the norm with our young people. They think that's what we are. So I did this, the last children's book, for the real reasons of real pride and all the contributions, scientifically, music, everything you just said. And it's bilingual. It's in English and it's in Italian. And I'm very proud of the way it came out. I mean, it's not this big book, it's just a little children's book, but I think a lot of our adults should read it as well, Italian Americans, because we have so much that we have contributed and given to the world that we should really be proud of. So I agree with you, and I'm with you 100% on all those
Oh, that's great.
statements.
What's the name of the book? I should get it from my grandchildren.
Name of this book is called I'm Proud to Be Italian American. Very
Okay.
simple, very short, and to the point. So
Yes, thank you.
thank
All
you.
right.
A question that just came to my mind. Do you have any sense of relief that you finished it, you did it over that, it in your thoughts was a 35-year process? Do you have a sense of relief?
Oh, tremendous relief. Tremendous relief, Frank. At first I didn't know whether I could do it and do it well. I wanted to honor my dad. I didn't want to do something that would, that would be a miserable failure people wouldn't like. So the pressure on me was, I know the story is true and it's good and it needs to be read and it needs to be shared. But can I do the job? Can I really make it so that my dad can be proud of what I had written? He was a very simple man. He taught himself how to read and write in English, and so I thought this is going to be difficult for me. I want to make sure I do a good job. But when I finally gotten to the point where I can look over my shoulder and say, "Wow, I did it." And I think the day that it came out, I got a call from the group that helped me with the publishing process. They weren't my publishers because I self-published it, but they did everything for me. And they said, you've had so many pre-sales that you've already hit a number one hot new release and your bestseller. And I thought, wow, I can't believe I did it. But the second call I got on that day, I had taken my wife out to celebrate, the launch, I got a call from the grandson of one of the characters you probably read about, Ernesto, that accompanied my dad on that voyage as a stowaway. And he ended up going to Detroit because that's where his family was from. But anyway, I got a call from his grandson, and he said, "Tony, I want you to know that had it not been for this book and for what you've told us in this book, I would never have known my grandfather's story." And I was like, I have accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. I affected, and I say this in the prologue, I want to inspire the children and grandchildren of immigrants everywhere that, this is a great country, and that depending on the way that you go about doing it, there are so many opportunities. And my dad did it the right way, and he gave me the opportunity to be what I have become. And when I got a call from this young man, and he expressed that joy, it was like you said, it was a relief. It was like I did it, and I was very happy. If nothing had happened after that, I would have said I've accomplished what I wanted to accomplish. But it's been much more since then.
Well, that is an incredible story. Yes, you did it. You finished it. You did a great job. Wow, would your dad be proud? Your dad did a great job because he raised such a great son. So
Oh,
you
thank you.
are, Tony, I could tell you're just a fantastic representative for us Italian Americans. I'm,
Thank you.
you make us proud. So you do us good. Last question, where can we find the book?
Well, you can go directly to Amazon and look for the book on by its name, The Stowaway in First Class, and it'll come up on my author page. But you can also go to my website, which has a lot of other information that's available, pictures that I couldn't get in the book, reviews, background stories, a lot of things that would help a potential reader decide whether they want to read the book by looking at just what's on the, and you can order the book from there. It's my website is www.anthonydesantis.com.
Okay, sounds good. AnthonyDeSantis.com. Well, Tony, it has been a pleasure speaking to you, reading the book. I wish you all the best and continued success.
Thank you very much, Frank. Thanks for having me on this program, and thanks for all the good work you do for the Italian American community. There's so few of us that take it seriously like you do, and I appreciate your enthusiasm and your voice in the community, and I'm glad we got to meet.
Well, thank you, Tony. Thank you.